views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's great to have you all join us today. Oh, my gosh. We got a great show for you. Hi, Mr. Benny. How are you today?
Doing well, Pat.
Well, we're going to talk about escaping the emotional roller coaster.
I'm down for it.
I'm down for it. And for those of you that are thinking, well, wait a minute, what does that mean? Does that mean what I think it means? You're going to find out because today we've got a great guest. Dr. Patricia Zurita Ona is joining us here today, better known as Dr. Z. Clinical psychologist specializes in anxiety, emotion, and much more. And beyond being all of that, she also teaches. And what I love about people that work with individuals, humans, as well as teach, is there's a whole level that happens in that forum, in that arena. Today, all of you out there got the book right here. You see the book? Perfect. We're going to be talking about what this is and what it means. And so for many of you, have you ever heard the words emotional roller coaster? If I even say that, you know, I bet that you zoom in a couple of areas. One, if you say emotional roller coaster, I bet many of you are thinking about your love relationship. That could be one thing. But I bet some of you may be thinking about your work. And then others are thinking about, well, wait a minute. I don't think I should express myself. I don't think that I'm at a place where it's good for me to even emote. Well, guess what? Thanks to Dr. Z, this is the book, this is the conversation that enables us to put two words together that begin with E, empowered emotions. Dr. Z, so great.
Thanks for Good morning, Pat. Thank you so much for having me. And what a great introduction to the topic of that emotional roller coaster.
Listen, here, let me start out by a little personal story.
Hey, I'm on it for you.
All right. When I worked in the corporate world, right, I was a corporate executive. My boss one day says, we're going to give everybody the Myers-Briggs, a personality test. Back in the day, that was the standard. Now we have a lot of other personality tests. So here we go, and we do the whole thing. So I score on the Myers-Briggs. I'm an INFP. I-N, F as in Frank, P. But I score so high as an introvert, meaning I'm in, like the introvert. So there's the margins outside of the margins. They made me take the test 5 times because they thought this cannot be possible. You can't be managing a group. You can't be an executive and be over here. And by the way, why are you like a feeling type? So let's talk right now, before we even get going, about the most misunderstood word in our pop culture, emotions.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that story, right? I think over the years, emotions have seen as this bad thing humans have, that we should all be, you know, just ultra thinkers, and that our thoughts should dominate the emotion. And I feel over the years, including in psychology, we actually dismiss the role of emotions in decision-making processes. Let me give you an example. Last night, I went for a dinner with a friend, right? So we go to the restaurant, we pick up the menu, and when we look at the menu, there were so many cool options, right? Like chocolate cake, and some this and that, right? When we look at the options in the menu, we have kind of like this feeling, right? Like there's this visceral reaction. Oh, I think I want French fries. I think I want a vegan burger. I think I want this, right? So our emotions actually give us some data that we need to make decisions, right? It's the integration between our feelings and our thoughts that help us to make the best decisions possible we can go in our daily living. So that's something new that starts in the 90s, right? But before the 90s, yes, emotions were like these really bad, awful things that humans were having. So I'm sorry to hear that, yeah, you know, that's the message you got.
But let's talk about it, because I'm reading your book, and I love your book. I'm not going to put you on the spot by going to a particular page, but I am going to talk with you about where we are in the spectrum of anxiety. The latest study that came out, Dr. Z, and I know you know this because this is your area of expertise. The latest study came out, reported the highest levels of anxiety across the board at every age in the history of humanity, so to speak, right? Very, very high levels of anxiety across the board. Now, I'm not saying that this is the research like you and I know it, but it is a survey. How did we get here?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about, let me answer that question by adding some extra information. One of the things that happened is that in my world working clients who have certainly clients with a lot of anxiety and depression and low mood and stress and perfectionism, but there are clients in which the emotions are feel at a very different level. Like I call them super feelers. They feel too much, too quick, and they act too soon, right?
Right.
These are, as instead of having an emotional dial, they have an emotional switch that goes on and off, right? And if you think about our life, we all are constantly regulating to emotions, right? If my kiwi does something I don't like, I may be like cranky, right? But I just want to be tactful how I respond, right? If my student does something that they don't supposed to be doing, I want to be careful how I give feedback. If my partner says the wrong thing at the wrong time, I just want to prioritize the relationship, right? Even though I may feel frustrated. So in our life, we're constantly adjusting our responses to our emotions. And there is a group of people in which that's their struggle, because they feel every emotion too much, too quick, too soon. So they experience anxiety as a maximum level. They experience sadness as a maximum level. They experience hopelessness, like really out there. So that's the group that I call them super feelers, because I think it's honoring where people are, right? It's not necessarily a bad thing. They are not broken. They are just wired physiologically to actually feel so much. And I think one of the things that happens when we have these high rates of anxiety or high rates of depression is that sometimes some of these folks are actually misdiagnosed or underdiagnosed. When they are not struggling just with anxiety, they are struggling with different types of emotions, right? A cluster of emotions that are driving some problematic behaviors in their lives, in many relationships or at work or with their families, right? Yeah. So that's something to keep in mind, that while we do have these high rates of anxiety, it could be that some of those high rates of anxiety are actually hiding this other struggle for a group of people, that they just feel too much, too quick, too soon.
I want to ask you this question. I mean, given what I know about you and the fabulous work you're doing in the world and all the people you're helping, I've got to ask the question about writing this book and writing it now. I mean, I can only imagine from where you are and the countless number of people that you've worked with, why this particular topic is so important. But tell me about what it was for you that hit you emotionally to say, I'm taking this thing on and I'm going to write about it.
That's a great question. So, Pat, do you want the Latino version? Do you want the American
version? Hey, look. I found out a couple of years ago that my grandfather was born in São Paulo, Brazil. So I will take the Latino version.
Okay, perfect. Here we go. My friend, Latino version, American version, you too.
Let's go with the Latino version today.
Thank you for asking that question. So here's the story. I came to this country in 2001. I always have been in the Bay Area in California. Then I went to graduate school. And then when I graduated around 2007, I think so, I started running a training clinic. I was the clinical director of this training facility where I had like a couple of practicum students, postdocs, and blah, blah, blah. In that process, there's one time that I used to co-facilitate some of these groups for super fillers or parents of super fillers with my students. For training purposes. So there's one time when I'm walking on the hallway and I see this man, and he's kind of lost, confused, and he say, do you know where this group is meeting? I say, yes, you have to go to room A. And he walks to the room A, and then 15 minutes later, I was there with my student starting the group. We start the group with a brief presenting exercise, and then everyone has to do a check-in. And this gentleman who I bumped in the hallway was doing his check-in, and he could barely talk. He started just crying, sharing the struggles he was going through with his son. And then, Pat, I don't lie to you, but in a fraction of seconds, the whole room, everyone was in tears, right? Because his story was so moving that people were just responding to that. And that was, for me, actually the moment that really, I think, captured this idea that we were doing fine with the treatments we had. We need to do better.
Yeah.
And over the years, that's what I did, right? Did a couple of mini studies with my students. We applied one thing, another intervention. And I think that the biggest reasons for me is because there is a population that has been stigmatized in psychology. We used to, you know, clinically speaking, we call them borderline personality disorder, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So much written about it. And, you know, the new books are definitely less stigmatizing, right? But there is a couple of misconceptions that we think that emotion regulation, which is at the core of borderline personality disorder, is exclusive of them. I'm a big proponent that that's not the case. Every human being, regardless of the age, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of religious beliefs, we're constantly adjusting to our emotions. I don't think it's an either or process. I think it's more like a continuum, right? Sometimes we do it effectively, sometimes we don't. And because the literature has been so pathologizing, I realized that we have to do something better. And I think when I think about emotion regulation, again, I take it out of it's exclusive for BPD. I think it applies to many struggles that we all have, including myself. And that term super feelers, I think, captures so much more the nature of a person. They are not broken. They just think a lot. So I think the short version is that over the years, I saw how this population was stigmatized. I think we had good treatment. We do need to do better. And I think the book, as you may have read, is based on Acceptance and Commitment Therapy, ACT. And I think ACT blends the best of two worlds between behaviorism and mindfulness and really helps people to find meaning in their life. From that place of finding what matters to you, you learn some skills. So even than other approaches, right? In other approaches, behavior therapists, we go and say, okay, this is a skill number A, skill number B, skill number C. In the ACT model, we start to teach you skills. But the frame is different. We ask, okay, so who do you want to be in this world? What's really important to you? When you think about your kid, what type of parent do you want to be? And if you want to be this caring and supportive parent, what are the skills that you need to learn to manage those emotions, to manage those sticky moments? So I think that has been a big journey for me in terms of how to apply acceptance and commitment therapy to the work of super feelers in a way that is less pathologizing and it's actually more more powerful in people's lives.
Yeah. Look, let me tell you why I love what you've got in the book and what we're going to talk about when we come back. One of the things I talked about the other day was the latest study that came out about Generation Z. And contrary to popular belief, what this study pointed out was when this population was asked about what they in the workplace now, what was their number one thing, like thing one, thing two, what they want. Yeah. Everybody thought money, this. Number one, which they declared as they believe a company is obligated to provide, was empathy. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to look at our lives for those out there that you're thinking, I've been told, too sensitive, feelings. My brother was a football player who was told there's no crying in football. That wasn't going to work for him. When we come back, Dr. Z is in the house. We're going to give a copy of the book away, Escaping the Emotional Roller Coaster. Yes, that. And why is it that her approach to this gets us from point A to point B in record time in the field of psychology? We'll be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Matanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Matanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Matanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
Tune in to The Astral Insider, your portal for adventure, insight, and growth with Fernando Albert. And get ready to tour the astral realm, expand your life in ways you've never imagined, and call in for the journey of your life with this world-renowned lucid dreamer, astral projectionist, psychic medium, and healer, Fernando Albert. This is every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. You know what? I got to thank Dr. Z for writing a book that I guarantee you, when you all get a copy of this book, and by the way, Benny, we have three copies to give away today, Escaping the Emotional Roller Coaster. Not only is this what I think is, you know, one of the most groundbreaking books to understand where we are as a society emotionally, whether that be in relationship, whether it be in a workplace, whether that just be watching the news, right? You feel me on this, everybody? What happens when I think about what Dr. Z has done, I think about very simply her looking at the many shades of emotion. There are 50 shades of emotion, right? Minimally. And yet we have been stigmatized for expressing many of them. We're going to give a copy of the book away, Dr. Z, but before we do, how can people get their own copy, and how can they find out more about you and your work?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. So the book is available on Amazon. So any person going to Amazon can get the book. And I think it's less than $20. So we actually, the publishers were very big into make it accessible to everyone. So it's not an ostentatious amount of money, which is great, right? In terms of my work, I am located in the Bay Area, California. I run my own practice. It's called the East Bay Behavior Therapy Center. So if you Google that, you can find me there. And if you go to Psychology Today, I'm also there, right? But I think the website maybe is the easiest way, the East Bay Behavior Therapy Center, .com. That's the easiest and quick way to find me.
Good. And by the way, that's also the same for social media. If you go to Facebook, you're going to be able to find Dr. Z at Facebook, East Bay Behavior Therapy Center as well. There's a link right on our website on the drpatshow.com, also on transformationtalkradio.com. We've created a profile page for her, for the book, all of the above. Benny, let's go ahead and give our first copy of the book away. 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819. You know, what I love about this, Dr. Z, and we're going to talk about Cranky Town. What I love about what you've addressed here is not only is this perfect for individuals who are looking at themselves, right, trying to figure out, why do I get off the rail? But more importantly, families today, you know, the family unit today has so many levels to it now in this complex stage that we live in, that we have to have a new model for understanding our feelings, right? But coming right out of the gate, you don't shy away from talking about Cranky Town.
I live in Cranky Town.
Oh my gosh. I know I'm not going to hear the end of this today. They're probably going to put a sign on my door. What would you say is the most misunderstood aspect of feelings in today's world? Especially when we are assessing other people. During the break, I told you, like, all of a sudden, Amy Klobuchar running for president. What does everybody want to talk about? They want to talk about whether or not she is a tough boss, a.k.a. a cranky town boss, right? It's overshadowing everything. Why?
Yeah, you know, I think you ask a very important question, right? I think, if I can answer that, your question, I think there are so many misconceptions about emotions, right? I think, as I mentioned at the beginning, initially they were seen as these bad things that people have, right? Yeah. Now, knowledge that an emotion, a feeling, give us important data about how to make decisions, what's important to us, how to survive in the world. The other misconception is this idea that women are more emotional than men. Right, oh, you know, it's only women who are just emotional, right? I think, clinically speaking, one of the things we have is that men tend to be more identified with anger problems when it's actually an emotion regulation problems, right? Most of the men that have actually gone to therapy asking for support for their anger struggles, when you talk to them, they're actually dealing with emotion regulation. They're also super feelers. But because women have been socialized to speak more about these emotions they are going through, we tend to label them more, right?
Right.
I think the other misconception we have seen is that every time you have an emotion, you actually have to express it out, right? For example, if you're practicing psychoanalysis or doing Freudian psychotherapy, they used to tell you things that you have to scream in your car, you have to punch a pillow. When the research actually in anger is showing us that the more that there are contexts in which it's actually not effective to display high levels of emotion. We're not talking about suppression. We're not talking about denying emotion. We're talking about helping people, helping all of us to discriminate when displaying an emotion is highly effective versus when it's not. For example, if I go to my sister's wedding, when my sister was getting married, it was such a big moment in my life. I was so excited to see her committing to a person, to my brother-in-law. And of course, I started crying. I was emotional. Right? I was excited for her. I was inspired by the love that they have for each other. So it's completely appropriate in that setting, I show my emotions, right?
Right.
Ever if I'm doing therapy and every time a client comes, I start crying and crying and crying and crying, that becomes all about the client and it comes on me. That may not be too effective, right?
That's right.
So in the past, again, we hear from especially psychoanalysis that you have to display all your emotions out there. We know that in some settings it's highly effective and in others not. Right. So I think we have to help people to deconstruct this idea. It's not either or, right? It's not either you suppress or you show all that way. It's again regulating in a way that you recognize the context in which you are experiencing X feeling and checking how to respond. I think emotions are not necessarily the causes of behavior, right? For example, people say, well, I felt sad, then I checked out in my bathroom or I didn't take your call, right? Emotions are internal experiences that we do have, and sometimes we get hooked, we get fused with a narrative of the emotion, and we do things that are actually not effective, right?
Right. So we take our emotions, and what happens is, you know, it's one thing, and what I hear you saying is a couple things. You know, some people have emotions, and they keep them all inside.
Yeah.
Some people have emotions, and they express themselves. Other people have emotions and they express themselves, but there is an action that they may take as a result, right? Mm-hmm. Don't you think that there is a point by which we get a little bit confused between emotions and then therefore the action that an individual may take?
I write a lot about the book, right? I like to talk, and this is not coming from me, this is coming from acceptance and commitment therapy, when we talk about the workability, right?
Yes.
That when we feel something, I feel X, and somehow we have been socialized that I do X. But it doesn't work like that, right? The idea with the skills that you learn in the book is that you feel X, you know this unnamed that emotion, then you check what's important to you, then you check the workability of your behaviors, and then you choose how to respond. So you can feel X and you can do Y, right? So chapters talk about that, how to basically divorce, right, the emotional experience from the behavior, which, again, in general, we haven't been taught how to do that, right?
No, we have not.
Yeah.
Not only have we not been taught, but now we're looking at generations, that young people going to school, and we're watching what they're not being allowed to understand about themselves, allowed to be under. You know, there we have, I think that my senses, and especially reading your book, is when somebody is labeled too sensitive, there's no place for them to go with that, to understand that label doesn't equal there's something wrong with you, right? because now we're compounding the situation. We have emotions that are being categorically placed as a label for people, and they don't know what to do with the label. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how to understand, one, that you are on an emotional roller coaster, and then ask the question, is there a so what there? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
What the fung do I do with my shway? Are you ready to hear what your space is about you and what you're communicating to the outer world about your inner dialogue? Are you ready to create harmony in your surroundings? Then join us on ClearSpeak Talk Radio with Dr. Jeanette Wolf on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in every fourth Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern for current IT integrated with ancient knowledge to boost the broadcast of your space. Visit JeanetteWolf.com for more information on this amazing approach.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Have you been searching for a push to step out and share your gifts with the world? Allow Charlene Hess to empower you to start shedding the layers of your ego that are holding you back and begin feeling connected to your heart so that you can shine your unique divine light and share your gifts with the world. Tune in to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, every third Friday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit CharleneHess.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, 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 welcome back. For those of you out there, I am so thrilled to be talking with Dr. Z, Escaping the Emotional Roller Coaster, ACT for the Emotionally Sensitive. And we're talking a little bit about ACT, but we're going to talk about it more. You know, the question really is, and something that Dr. Z really coined was super feeler, super feeler. Are you a super fueler? I love the video that you popped up here for us. Before we talk about how we move forward in our lives, how do we go from whatever label we have been given, whatever situation, we're going to talk about how do we go from where we are to where we want to go and what the skills are. Please let folks know again how they can get a copy of the book.
Thank you so much. Anyone can go into Amazon and just search for the words Escaping the Emotional Roller Coaster. And as I mentioned, and I think this is very important, the book is less than $20. So it's accessible, and it really will teach you some specific skills about how to manage these emotions on a daily basis. This is not an academic book. This is not a book written by a researcher or a person behind a desk. I am a therapist. I see clients like every single day for the last 14, 15 years. And it's really coming from my work with them. So I would highly recommend that. It's a cool book, and it's fun, and it's easy to read. And it has really cool skills.
Yeah. Well, I really, first of all, thank you for writing the book, and thank you for being here. You know, one of the things we were talking about during the break was, you know, when you're in the middle of your stuff, let me just call it that, unless somebody can help you, give you a hand, help you up, it's hard to get out of it. And part of what you've done in really addressing this is not only have you really written a book that helps people understand, you know, the cycle of things, you know, the idea of an inner voice, everything about what somebody might go through that is a super feeler. You also have identified how to move forward in life in a positive way and the skills that are involved. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Thank you so much, Pat, for asking that question. So the main idea, I think what I try to convey on the book is that, again, we all are constantly adjusting to our emotions. We're constantly choosing how to respond to these emotions. And sometimes we just don't know. You know, when I grew up, I don't remember ever anyone in my family telling me, Patricia, when you feel anxious, this is what you do. When you feel sad, this is what you do. When you feel angry, this is what you do. We learn by watching, we learn by sensing, right? And we develop a repertoire of responses that sometimes is effective and sometimes it's not, right? So in the book, what I really try to do is, before going there, I invite people to actually acknowledge how they have been feeling. I invite them to check whether they're super feelers or not. And there's apparently maybe 6 questions that people can answer to check that, right? So it's not this long questionnaire. And then from that, we check, okay, so how do you handle your emotions? What are the things you do? Because there are things that we do that, again, are very helpful, and there are things that are not very helpful, like compulsively shopping, lashing out, disconnecting, going to ice cube mode, right? Getting cranky, isolating, right? And then we look at the cause of those responses. And then from there, you know, when we acknowledge, okay, something is happening, right? There is a gap between how I want to live my life and what am I doing. Then we talk about values. What is important for a person? The chapter I have, it's called Vivir Mi Vida, La La La. I don't know. I don't know if I'm with Mark Anthony.
Yeah.
That's a song, Vivir Mi Vida, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely love the song. And I think there is a difference in life when you are doing things just because you have to do, or doing the things you need to do, or that you're supposed to do, versus living a life when you're really doing the things that are important to you, the things that you care about, the things that matter to you. So that chapter is about actually helping the readers to get in touch with what's really important in different life areas, parenting areas, self-growth, professional, romantic relationships, friendships. And then from that, basically, the book is structured in different sections, right? There is a section about feelings, which is a huge chunk of that book. There is a section about thinking. There is another section about body. And there is a section about relationships. And each section, readers, instead of learning 101 skills that are really hard to remember, they are going to be learning 5 core skills that apply to every single section. So if readers learn the 5 core skills, they are going to be able to manage their emotions, the tricky thoughts they have about themselves, about others, they're going to be more effective handling conflict, right? And how to take care of their body, right? So that's the idea. The skills are very, I wrote them in a very accessible way. I got good feedback from that. When I was writing the book, I actually, you know, piloted with my clients, right? I got a lot of input from them about what was helpful or not. So in that sense, I think I feel very excited to see that they're very tangible skills. They're not these abstract things.
Yeah. And that's really what we're talking about, because we have to really be able to outline or have a conversation that has to do with possibilities that people can understand. I think too often, you know, we're faced with jargon or language that, you know, removes us from the reality of anything we can actually implement in our lives, right? And, you know, what you've been able to do is talk about and address how to move forward. One of the things that you do talk about that many people don't, and I want to talk about it for a minute, is nonverbal communication.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised in the book to find a chapter on nonverbal communication, because so often we react and we respond to the energy of somebody's present, and they don't have to say a word. Why was nonverbal communication, especially the way you've written about it in the book, so important for us to understand? Because feelers, I think, pick up on all of it.
Right, that's right. Actually, you're tapping into something very important. Right, my clients who are emotionally sensitive, super feelers, they're actually scanning a room. They're not looking at this person feels like this, feels like that, this is happening. Sometimes it's awkward, sometimes there is a misappraisal. But you're right on the sense that they actually quickly try to scan, sometimes, not all the time, these emotional expressions. And one of the challenges is that sometimes they are not aware about how they are doing this social signaling, right? Like even without words, we're constantly signaling a person, right? Like, for example, it's hard to do this right now, but when people say hi, I can have like a flat hi, or I can have like a hi, right? When I'm looking at my browns, right? Having a half a smile. So I think many times when people are with emotional switch on and the emotions are highly intense, of course that affects the brain, right? Like the amygdala is activating, is shouting, right? So it's hard to just see what's happening. So we help clients to actually slow down a little bit and to also be aware how they are, what they are signaling with their body, with their facial expression, with their arms, right? And we definitely, the book actually talks about some tips about how when you're saying hi to people, you want to do the best you can to signaling a welcoming hi. So you may want to lift your eyebrows a little bit. You may want to have a half a smile, right? Now, I teach these things to my clients. They say, are you asking me to be fake? And my response is no, right? I'm asking you to be effective in a particular setting, only if you want to. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, that we can feel X and we do Y, right? Because living a life, the title of the book actually captures this idea that if we live in a world in which we do everything what emotion tells us to do, it is a roller coaster. Because you have emotion behavior. If I feel sad, then I withdraw. Then I feel guilty. Then I go to apologize. Then I get mad the other person doesn't get my apologies. Then I withdraw again, right? So living a life when your emotions are running the show makes it hard, versus learning to be effective and living your values, it really invited us to feel X and do Y.
You know, I want to talk to you. I work with women in addiction and recovery, and I wanted to talk to you about something I find interesting that's right across the headlines. Mm-hmm. And the dialogue has to do with the opioid addiction. But one of the things that I don't hear in the conversations, whether it be of our lawmakers across the board, is why are individuals seeking out a comfort zone, right? See, you say the word opioid, but the bottom line is go back to the 60s when the African-American population and the communities, right, of folks were completely bombarded with heroin. You know, now we've given it a kind of fancy dancy name, opioids, but basically we are talking about heroin, right? I mean, if we really want to talk about it, but we are not talking about why we're looking at. Yes, it is addictive substance, but what does the substance do? And I think that's the conversation we have to have. What is going on in our society, especially with young people, that they're seeking out in whatever way they can a way to feel better?
Well, that's such a great question, right? I think you're right that sometimes we're trying to target a problem without being clear about what's the driver, what's the source of the struggle, right? I don't know too much about substance abuse, right? However, I can tell you that in my world with clients who are super feelers, and if we look at our own life, humans, we're not wired to be in pain. We don't like to be in pain. We don't like to feel something uncomfortable. We don't like to feel sadness. We don't like to feel even jealousy, right? So we do everything we can to run away from those emotions, as if we're wearing like sneaker shoes that will run really fast, right?
Right.
So I think there are hundreds of behaviors that we develop around that, substance abuse being one of them, controlling how much food you eat or how much food you don't eat, isolating ourselves, compulsively shopping, screaming. I think in general what we have is that we haven't socialized, and that has been reinforced, that we don't like to be in pain. So we do all types of things to not be in pain. Instead of looking at this uncomfortable emotion as opportunities to learn and to grow. And for some people, even though they can be very intense, right, we still can teach them how to have intense emotion, how to calm themselves down, how to down-regulate, and then choose their behavior. But I think you're right that we're living in a world in which everything that feels wrong, it's a problem. So we have to do something about it. But it's really, really the opposite that will give us better lives.
I want to talk to you. I know we've got a little bit of time left. In the world that you live in, I want to really jump ahead. You are so committed to this work. And when we talk about ACT, it is acceptance and commitment therapy. Acceptance and commitment therapy.
Yeah.
Two of my favorite words. But I was really pleasantly surprised to see them here. Tell us how acceptance and commitment fit into healing.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful question. Maybe one of my favorite topics, right? So I will do my best to answer a short version because I have a story about that.
No, please tell the story. I'd love to hear it.
I think in my own life before, I didn't know how to handle my own struggles. I have been a therapist for over 20 years. I was traditionally training cognitive behavior therapy. And acceptance and commitment therapy is one branch of CBT. But I think that I didn't know really how to learn from my own struggles until I was introduced to ACT. I didn't know how to sit with, hang in there, lean in towards what was scary, uncomfortable, painful, and accept that that's how it is. It doesn't make me bad. It doesn't make me an awful person. It doesn't make me broken. It just is. To accept these uncomfortable experiences we do have, right? Check what's important to us and commit to that. In the ACT jargon, we have usually things, we say things like, you can speak about values as amazing words, but if you don't take action, they are like words taken by the wind. We can only live our values with our feet, our hands, and our mouth. But our private experiences, the things that happen under our skin, they're just things we have. And the more that we learn to like, take them as they are, our thoughts, our memories, our emotions, as things that we have, and not things that have to drive our behavior, the better it is. Right?
Right.
So that is the idea, right? Within us, there is a lot of accepting any private experience we have, thoughts, memories, images, hypotheses, doubts, right? Feelings, sensations. Check what is important and commit to them with your behavior.
Yeah. I believe that The word commitment is so important today. And every time you say it, people think about relationships. I'm thinking about the relationship we have with ourselves.
Yeah.
What would you say is the greatest challenge we have to fully committing to the embetterment of ourselves? And what have you done in your practice? How do you help people get there? Because commitment is a major word, and sometimes people have to take it in smaller bite sizes.
Yeah. Well, yes, you know, commitment doesn't have to be this 1,000 step. Commit is micro steps, right? Micro bold moves that we make. And I love what you say. You are right. Sometimes when I talk, when we're discussing about commitment with my clients, yeah, it's associated with romantic relationships. So it's really more about commitment to live the life we want to live. Commitment to be the person we want to be, right?
Yes.
I think if you ask about the obstacles, I think on the one hand, for the super feelers, I think a major obstacle is it's really avoiding some emotions, suppressing, bubbling down, or doing exactly what emotion tells them, or getting hooked in what they feel, you know, has to be done, right? I feel anxious, therefore I had to do that, right?
Right.
So I think the hooks, you know, the blocks are more these internal, maybe rules that people have about how to manage the emotion. I think sometimes there is also this block about, well, my family was like that. This is biological, then I cannot do anything. And I think humans were capable of overcoming our own learning history. Not easy, but we can do it.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I brought it up is because I know for myself.
Yeah.
I've had to really think about the points in time in my life where I had to commit to a goal, you know, commit to being the best person I could be. And I think it's one of the most important words. And the reason I say that is because I shared with you before, you know, I am the person that studied the consequences of broken promises.
Yeah.
And if we're going to develop trust and really live trustworthy lives, we have to be willing to understand what we can commit to and what we can't. And I think part of what you talk about in the book is this beautiful balance and integration and harmony of understanding emotions as well as actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for that.
Yeah, I know that's really sweet of you, and that's beautifully said, right? I think also the other aspect that comes to me when I think about commitment is that it's an endless process.
Oh,
it's every day, every moment brings to us a golden opportunity to check, okay, what do I do? The struggle, the human struggles, right? Do I do that, right? And I think... And sometimes we choose things that are not helpful to us. But as long as we choose, and every moment we restart over and over, right? I think it's an ongoing process. It's not something that is always fulfilled, right? Like if my value is to be a caring therapist, right? That's never stopping, right? It's never stopping. If your value is to be a caring mother, right? There are hundreds of behaviors around that, right? From feeding to giving a hug, right? Or to asking your kid what's going on when he or she's crying, right? So I think that commitment is a process, and we commit to the process of living it every moment, every day. It's an endless journey.
Wow. Dr. Z, thank you so much for taking this on. Man, you are like a super rock star with this. One last question. How can people find out more about you? And also, what's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
Wow, that's the most difficult question, right? I think, people can find me in the East Bay Behavior Therapy Center.com. That's the easiest part of the question. And I think that the biggest message will be for everyone listening this radio show. Who think and they know they are super feelers, I want to tell you, whatever you are, that you are not broken. You're just wired to feel a lot, too much, and act too soon. And it's workable.
I love it. How can people find out, again, how to get a copy of the book? Thank you. It's Escaping the Emotional Roller Coaster, everyone. Thank you so much. Where can they get it? Amazon, everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's all there in Amazon, less than $20.
I love it. Dr. Z, everybody, escaping the emotional roller coaster. Act for the emotionally sensitive. I'm Dr. Pat. Stay tuned. Another hour coming up right here on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.